do begin.
Hey, what is up, guys, and welcome back to another episode of the Social Primate Podcast. If this is your first time tuning into the show, I just want to give you a big thank you. Thank you for taking the chance. Thank you for letting me entertain or allow some sort of engagement between you and my guest or the community. Whatever it may be, thank you for taking the chance on it, because we all know time is valuable. We all know that it's hard sometimes to try new things because we don't want it to feel like a waste of time, etc., etc. But that's what life is. Let's just experience. Let's experiment with it. Let's try things out 1, 2, 3 times until, you know, we figure out that it's not for us or if it is. And I hope that's the same thing with this podcast. So thank you. I hope you guys continue to grow alongside me, and I hope you continue to support the next million episodes that I do here. With that being said, let's get back to business. Today, my guest is Jose Vasquez. For those of you who have been around for a while, for those of you who have been listening to the show, this will mark his third appearance, and it's always a great one. I love catching up with him. He's a great person all around, and it's so fun just to have a conversation where I can just go fanboy. I can just go crazy, you know? I don't have to worry about what I'm going to ask. It's just about me and my guests just having a great time, just discussing things that we love. So with that being said, I hope you guys enjoy this conversation. I'm going to keep that short, and we're going to move on. So people, just keep in mind, we're talking about MCU movies here, anything that has to do with superhero stuff, comic, pop culture. So if you haven't caught yourself up with any of these things, I'll refrain from listening to this because you may get a lot of spoilers. But if you're into that kind of stuff, let's just go. Let's just go with it, and let's fanboy together. And now, last but not least, today's music is brought to you by Moon Visions with their song Evening Euphoria. You can find them on Spotify. You can find them on YouTube. Basically, on any platform that you consume media from, you can find them. So why not take a chance, like you did with the show? Go check them out, show some support, and do your thing. With that being said, you guys have a great rest of the week. Stay tuned, stay cool. See you soon. And welcome back to another episode of the podcast. Today we have the great return of Jose Vasquez. Dude, thank you for making the time.
My pleasure. Like, I know we're trying to work this out, trying to do it earlier last month, and like, I'm glad. Thank you for bringing me back.
I get excited because, you know, after I like catching up with you first and foremost, because to be able to sit down in a podcast and have a go at it with, you know, with the homie, you know, it's cool, you know, and I love your perspective on all this stuff. I know people are like, man, these fucking nerds, like, so what?
The thing is now, like nerd culture and like all this stuff is now part of pop culture. There's like, yeah, people that are making clothes off of like comics, anime, like video games, all this stuff. And like, you have like also the music. You have people like rappers talking about like different characters and yeah, comics and anime into their lyrics. Like Wu-Tang talks about, you know, lyrics about like Spider-Man or the X-Men in it. And rappers too. You have like who else? Like Frank Ocean talking about Dragon Ball Z. You have Tosh Gabbana, yeah, talking about like anime too. So it's intertwined now. It's,
you know what's awesome? I've seen a huge increase in like people who watch anime too. I think because Netflix helped, Crunchyroll. Netflix has been one of the ones that has adapted it more. Like they're making their own originals, I think, at this point. So I love seeing just like the anime artwork among the crowd. Like every now and then, you're like, holy shit!
And then now, like about next month, they'll have the live-action Cowboy Bebop series.
Oh, that's right. With fucking Harold from Harold and Kumar. Yeah.
So it's just bananas. Like, I remember, I think last week they did, like, their own little, like, convention thing for Netflix, talking about next projects, next movies, and they showed the teaser for Cowboy Bebop, but they pretty much mirror image the anime intro almost to a T. And I saw, I was like, I got kind of goosebumps. He's like, man, they had like the same music, but they're doing the same movements in the opener. And like, oh, it looks really good. But now I'm waiting for like an actual trailer to see, you know, how this goes.
Dude, no, it looks pretty cool. I saw the suit, like, he looks just like the character, you know, like straight out of the fucking cartoon or the anime.
The hair too and everything, it was perfect.
Yeah, because you know, like how when they adapt stuff, sometimes it's not for the best.
Oh yeah, like, there's been a few. Like Avatar Last Airbender is like the perfect example. Like, how can you get the main character's name wrong?
You know what was actually kind of cool, but I got a lot of hate was Ghost in the Shell with Scarlett Johansson.
I think because like if people don't like it so much, it's because like they cast Scarlett Johansson to play the main character.
Yeah,
and then they like cast like an Asian actress to play the character. That I think people would have been like much like fine with it.
For sure, I got a lot of hate because of that. But I mean, it still didn't make it not a cool movie. At least in my books, you know, it's of course you still want to be correctly represented. But at the end of the day, it's like, man, I'm seeing these action sequences. They're like doing it pretty close, you know, to the heart to an extent. It's like, dude, it's still cool, you know.
Yeah, it is.
Which goes to say again that there's certain things, certain iterations or adaptations of these mediums that don't get translated correctly into live action. So that's why a lot of people are like kind of hesitant to do it.
Yeah, especially when they announced Cowboy Bebop, people were like, because it's like the classic anime. It's the anime you introduce people to watch to get into anime. You know, and it's just like people don't want to like it messing up or like just having liberties, because Netflix has done that a little bit, like kind of messing up the anime like Death Note. And it's just like off the rails. The only good thing was Willem Dafoe playing Rook, the Shinigami. But that was the only, like, that's to me, that was the only perfect, like, good thing about that movie.
I didn't even get to see it because I heard it was bad, and I was just like, I don't want to taint my, you know?
Just watch it for Willem Dafoe. Just like, or just go to YouTube, watch, like, Death Note. Yeah, just watch his parts. Yeah, you're good.
With some of the movies that have been coming out, like, I know you mentioned that, like, if I was caught up with What If, the Marvel show. Mm-hmm. And, dude, I've been thinking about the last episode. I'm sorry, people, we're going to spoil some stuff here. But the last episode, it was Vision or Ultron basically finishing his fucking dream when we were watching Age of Ultron. And it was just use Vision's body as his vessel to fucking conquer.
It was just crazy. Me and my girlfriend loved the show. We love pretty much all the episodes, and then this episode we watched, it was just bananas, just seeing his first plan working, because like an Age of Ultron, the first plan didn't work since like Jarvis cacked like the nuclear code, so you couldn't use the nuclear code, so you went to plan B to make a giant bomb off of Sokovia.
Yeah, dude, and in this case he fucking succeeded, and he got the Infinity Stones. That dude, when he killed, I mean, again, people, spoilers, but when he shredded fucking Thanos in half, I was like, what the fuck?
I was getting ready for like an awesome fight. Like, Thanos has all the Infinity Stones, and like, oh, Ultron has one and has a vibranium body, but that's gonna be awesome. Nope, just like, shrimp.
Oh, casual, like, I was like, oh my god. And honestly, that's why that episode in itself has been kind of lingering the last few days. Just, I keep thinking of that, I visualize that scene. And I'm just like, holy shit, that's kind of scary, dude. Like, he has ultimate power. He has the Infinity Stones. He's already conquered the first universe. And then out of nowhere, he's like, oh, there's more? Oh, fuck. That shit just tripped me out.
The thing about that episode I love is, like, pretty much the reaction to the Watcher. Like, just him narrating what's going on and having Ultron, like, wait, who's talking right now? And like, oh, wait, I see you. And have the Watcher just freak out about it. Because like the Watcher in the comics is pretty much not ultimate being, but like a godlike being. He doesn't like interfere with like anything, but in the comics he does interfere. But it's just crazy just how his reaction, like, wait, this is not supposed to happen at all. Like, I can see the past, present, whoever comes in the future, and this is like brand new to me.
Yeah, I think that's what gave that episode like suspense, because it was like you said, it's not supposed to happen, and for him to be freaking out about a possibility, and then at some point towards the end, he breaks through that barrier, and he's like, oh, fuck, you know, he's like,
now I have to intervene, now I have to save the entire multiverse, now I have to intervene and show my true powers, and like still get swept from Ultron.
Dude, I think a lot of the episodes, they've been great. There's probably like two The Thor one, I wasn't a big fan of. That one was just a little too weird for me. But it was still cool. It was entertaining, you know. And then the zombie one, there was zombie Avengers and zombie Thanos. But at some point, I was like, man, Spider-Man's not even using his real powers. Like he was half-assing his powers the whole time. And I'm like, dude, you're Spider-Man. You know, you got. I think he was struggling to do something. I was like, dude, you got super strength. Like, why are you struggling, dude? But I mean,
yeah, it worked. I like that episode too. And then I think they're lingering on if they do. I'm sure they approve for a second season. I'm sure they're gonna bring back the continuation of that episode because you have like T'Challa, Spidey, and Scott Lang heading to Wakanda, and you have Thanos pretty much taking over Wakanda, and then all the citizens are all zombies, and they're heading towards it with the Mind Stone.
Oh yeah, that's right. I think at least for the finale, they were trying to bring back, which I think comes out tomorrow, no? It's on Wednesday or tonight.
Tonight, midnight, I guess it comes out.
Yeah.
There's been theories that people are wondering that probably the Watcher is going to assemble his own Infinity Stones.
Mm-hmm.
Because like, you have like, so you can pretty much pluck them out from different multiverses. So you can go to the zombie universe, pluck the Mind Stone from Peter, and then go to... what Earth Captain Carter is, and then go see Doctor Strange, and he already has the Time Stone. So there, he just has to figure out the reality and Soul Stone, and then there you go. He can assemble his own Infinity Gauntlet.
I like the dark approach that they've been taking with this because it gives them more liberty to do more things, you know, to play around. But I think that's something that you normally don't see in the MCU movies. That seeing it there, you're like, even like the Doctor Strange episode, like, what if Doctor Strange didn't lose his hands but lost his heart? And then he's just trying to revive his, you know, his girl, like, back to back. And it's just death, 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 and just breaking him down, you know?
Her death is, like, a fixed point in his reality. It reminds, yeah. I remember watching that episode with my girlfriend, and I was hearing her, this reminds you of, like, the Time Machine movie with Guy Pearce. Mm-hmm. I don't know if you remember that. It's, like, he's literally, they build a time machine, and they're trying to save his wife over and over. Each time, it's, like, she has to die. Keep moving on.
Oh, that's fucking hardcore, man. That was definitely... I think that was one of the first Stargate episodes that I was like, holy shit, like, I love what they're doing. It was like DCU, like DC Dark, but with the Marvel characters. And I was like, they got to do this with movies.
Yeah, eventually, I'm sure later on, like, Disney has to realize, like we can't just rely on like, the PG-13 rating to get more audience in. Mm-hmm. Oh, we have to, like, venture out and do, like, or, like, at least an R-rated movie. Because, like, look what Logan, Deadpool, and Joker, like, all of them, like, made huge success for, like, make it rated R.
Yeah, I wonder how they're going to handle Deadpool 3, because from what I heard, it's supposed to be at, like, 2023, 2024. But Fox, or at least that segment of Fox, is owned by Disney now, but they don't do fucking rated R movies for now.
Well, unless they do, like, because, like, once, I think Deadpool 2, they released, like, a PG-13 version.
You're right.
They can do two versions, like, have a rated R one, and then have, like, a PG-13 one.
Dude, I can't wait to see how that crosses over. Which brings me up to this next point. Like, this whole Phase 4 has been about exploring the multiverse. Like, right after Endgame, after they fucking opened Pandora's box, now it's, like, fixated to different timelines and how things are working in different worlds. And one of them was Loki. Like, Loki, I don't know if... Did you get to see the whole thing?
Me and my girlfriend saw the entire thing. We were, like, amazed by it. I was just shocked bringing, like, Kang the Conqueror, another iconic character, into this universe. And then I think now he's going to be, like, the big bad for, like, going through Phase 4.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that shit blew my mind, too. Like, at the end of the last episode, I was like, holy shit.
And the actor plays Kang the Conqueror. Heck, his charisma and his attitude just sold it to me. Like I'm like, he seems like, you know, like a cheerful, like, guy, but in reality, he's like the massive, biggest threat of all time. And him just mentioning, like, oh, like, you thought I was bad, like, wait till my other variants come in, and they're gonna be 20 times worse than I am. And just have Loki come back to TVA just like shook and scared and telling you, like, something evil's coming, we have to prepare, we have to figure it out, and then, oh, it's too late. Like, you have Kang the Conqueror controlling the TVA.
Yeah, I hope, hopefully, like, that becomes more, like, they apply it more, of course, as the Phase 4 continues, because right now, they're only up to, I honestly, the last big bad, at least from because Black Widow was in the middle of the MCU. It was kind of what, Civil War and Infinity War.
Yeah, so it's right in the middle.
Mm-hmm. And then what was the next one? Shang-Chi. That one's like, I guess, the first Marvel Disney MCU, because Spider-Man was a Sony one. It's still kind of MCU related though, but
yeah, it's still in the mix. Yeah. So pretty much, so after Shang-Chi will be the Eternals.
Eternals, yep.
Well, I think Shang-Chi and the Eternals are, I think, the same time frame, because they mentioned the blip. Thanos snapped his fingers and they brought everyone back. So the Eternals will take pretty much, I think, we'll deep dive more of what's going on in the Marvel Universe, like, well, the cosmic side of the Marvel Universe.
Yeah, and then I think what's it called? Spider-Man comes out this December, I think. No, this Christmas season, and then fucking Doctor Strange, fucking Madness of the Multiverse. Have you? Okay, I don't know. I think I already asked you, and I think you said no, but you still haven't seen Venom, right?
No, I haven't seen Venom yet. Not yet.
Fuck, Jesus Christ!
I've been hearing like, oh, it's like, it's great, it's good, it's okay. It's bad. It's like wet garbage. And I seen the first one. And the first one isn't the greatest movie. It's like a 90s comic book movie. Just like, yeah, think of like Spawn, but just a little better than Spawn in the 90s.
For sure. Yeah. I mean, the second one is kind of similar to the first one. I mean, for sure, it looks like they upped the comedic level on it. But the action sequences are pretty matched up. Again, it's not like, I'm not gonna be like, oh fuck, it's a perfect movie, go watch it. But it was a grim movie. It was a good summer, end to the summer flick, you know, type of thing. That's what it is. But oh man, I'm so okay. You don't spoil things for yourself, do you?
I just try to avoid it. I don't want to know what's going on. I know, but it's because it's funny, because all these reviews about that movie, it's like, It's like, yeah, the action's great, you know, but like the chemistry between Venom and Eddie is it's perfect, and then the other stuff's like, whatever. But like the post credits scene was like it's gonna best thing ever.
Yeah, goddamn it! Excited. I'm pretty sure you even probably know what it is already. Like, you have an idea in your own head.
Well, like, I don't know. I'm just excited and to see the film, because like I like Venom. He's great. He's a great character in the comics. Carnage is also awesome too. Mm. Like, I like just the. Just like, oh, you thought like, oh, there's Spider-Man, he has a black suit symbiote, like, oh cool. And then oh, you thought like, oh, then you have Venom, like a pretty much a badder version of Spider-Man.
Yeah.
And then you have like, oh, you have like Carnage, just psychopath. Well, Cletus Cassidy, already a psychopath, like crazy as it is. And they all just give him like the symbiote, and then make him like 10-20 times, you know, crazier.
I think Woody Harrelson did a great job with it. For sure, but you know, because it's a PG-13 movie, they're obviously very limited in terms of what they can show. Carnage is just brutal. Like, everything he did, not spoiling anything, but everything that happened in the movie, it could have been amplified if they had shown blood.
I'm sure there's going to be like a director's cut for that movie, like a like unrated version of that movie. I'm pretty sure.
Dude, I hope so, because we adults, we need the blood. Like, it's like Logan, you know, when I saw Logan, like, I've always been a fan of Wolverine. I've always loved the guy. The movies, Hugh Jackman was great. I watched all of them. But it wasn't until Logan that you actually saw the ferocity of who Wolverine really is in the comic books, you know. Even in the comic books, it's kind of clean. But you know what fucking adamantium claws are going to do to a human? They're going to fucking slice right through you, you know. And Logan just captured the aggressiveness. And I think that's why it did so well, because it's a character that people love. It's a people that people have grown up with in the last decade plus. And to see him in his full, like, rah!
Yeah, it's like, I remember watching the first X-Men movie when I was, I think, like, middle school. I think, 2000 and... No, no. Actually, before middle school. It came out, like, 2000. The first X-Men movie. Just seeing Wolverine pull out the claws, like, awesome. And, like, just hoping you get that berserker rage, and then you get a little bit in X-Men 2 when he fights the goons inside the school, and then that finally seeing him and Logan like full on berserker rage.
I forgot who said it. Oh, I think it was the director of Joker. I forgot his name right now, but he did the Hangover movies. But he was saying like people were like, oh well, you kept kind of like the violence. It was powerful, but it was very little. But he goes like, that's kind of like the point. Like, you know, you want to show these moments where like this person, like at least where they're going psycho, it's meaningful, if that makes any sense. Like, they want to make sure that you're impacted by that shot. So that's why at the end when Joker's like, you know what, to fucking Robert De Niro's character?
What do you get? Like, loner. I just this feel, and like, I was shocked myself. Like, whoa, that's insane.
It was a shock scene, and you're just like, oh shit. But that was what made it so powerful. And again, it was just a buildup to that moment. As short as it was just, he just snapped. And he's like, ah, man. But again, this is movies that are allowing those characters to develop long enough. Which again, MCU is I love the MCU. But unless they're doing like or single character stories, kind of like Shang-Chi, it's kind of hard to just throw characters in there and have people like immediately know who they are, you know, and try to get attached to them.
And like when like they announced Shang-Chi, I was like, oh man, like I don't know if it's gonna work, because like not a lot of people know about him unless you're like a hardcore comic book fan and you know who he is and what does he do and what's his relationship to the comics. Then go for it. And then you'll ask me like, oh, you think this one's gonna be good? Like, well, let me tell you, like they made a movie about a talking raccoon and a talking tree, and it's like probably one of the number 6, number 10 like highest Marvel movie. Yeah. So I'm sure Shang-Chi will be fine. And then now it was like, it's like, I think for about like 3 weeks or like about a month, it was like number one in the box office.
Yeah, it was like this movie that just came out of the like left field and it hit, you know? I don't know if you noticed that there's going to be a Super Mario movie. And like they have like this crazy cast of like fucking A-list celebrities. And you're like, what the? And you know, Mario games are just like, it's me and Mario.
Yeah, that's the thing. I'm like, I'm just trying to figure out like how is it going to be like dialogue. You know, the other like live action movie, it's like one with trying to blank now with the actors' names, but we had a live action Mario movie back in the 90s, and it was terrible. Bad. And then you had like a Mario TV show, and that was like the only two live action versions of Mario. This is going to be animated, so I don't know what's going to be. I'm down to watch it.
Yeah, it's funny because like how when Sonic came out. You know how they presented the shitty-looking rodent Sonic? Oh, yeah. You're like, what the fuck? You know, and obviously people were like, hey, no, this is not Sonic. And they tuned him up and stuff.
That's the power of, like, of the fans. People are like, you know, this is messed up, man. And he forced a studio to redesign Sonic. Yeah. And then, boom, now they're getting a sequel. They're adding Knuckles and Tails. And I think, I'm pretty sure Jim Carrey's going to come back as Eggman.
Oh, yeah, no, I think he did sign up for it. I was reading that they're going to go for it.
Yeah, and then I like the fact once they announced the Mario movie, people were like making ideas like, oh, we're going to have a Smash Brothers movie coming up since we already have Pikachu. Oh, yeah. We have like Sonic, and then we have Mario.
Oh, my God. Hey, that should be pretty cool. Like some fucking, it's like Super Smash Brothers. Bunch of characters coming right. It's the next Infinity War, like, crossover.
That's the next Marvel. That's the next Avengers movie. You have, like, all, like, Nintendo characters.
Yeah, I mean, because I think that's what some studios are trying to reproduce, you know? Like, I think at some point a few years ago, I think Universal was trying to do, like, the horror-verse. Like, the monster-verse.
Oh, yes.
And they canceled it. And I was like, I mean, it could have had potential, you know? But
yeah, they had amazing, like, cast actors to do this. You had Angelina Jolie playing, like, the Bride of Frankenstein. You had Johnny Depp playing the Invisible Man. You had Benicio del Toro playing. Who am I thinking? Javier Bardem. Never mind. Javier Bardem playing, I think, Frankenstein or another monster, another creature. So I just like, oh no, after the movie came out, boom, nothing. It was gone. Oh, and then Russell Crowe playing Mr. Hyde, Mr. Jackal.
Yeah, I, who knows? I mean, of course, I'm sure they had their reasons. You know, the movies party were not doing so great. But, you know, the idea is that most of them are trying to create, they're basically trying to make a Marvel universe of their own, you know?
Like Harry Potter did it, and then Fast and Furious is going to do two more. Jurassic Park is in that category as well. Star Wars. But I think for Star Wars, I think just stick it with, like, the miniseries. Just do the shows, because it's amazing. Like, The Mandalorian is, I got emotional watching the second season. She's probably, my girlfriend was there, and, like, I was just crying, seeing Luke. And like just having like Darren John just take off his helmet, I'm like, oh my god, like why am I like, getting all emotional?
Oh, stupid Grogu.
Bit, like, you know?
Yeah. Every scene he came out, and I was like, oh my god, he's so fucking adorable. And he's just like, ah. Yeah, but I agree with the Shaws on the Star Wars, because I mean, what I've been reading is that they're trying to retcon the last trilogy somehow. Like they're trying to find ways of.
Yeah, and then like. And the way they're kind of doing, like, just someone like explain it, like, oh, they're solely doing it without you knowing, because they have like the shows are kind of making pretty much branching off from like episode 6, and like, oh, this is how it should go. And you have like Dave Filoni, John Favreau, and then George Lucas, all three in the mix, just to write these stories and just do these like mini series.
Yeah, you know, because after the last movie, they stopped pushing anything with Kylo or were like Rey. You could tell. I mean, if you're paying attention, you can tell. Like, you again, their movie, they're branching onto different shows, like The Bad Batch. It's a pretty good show. I haven't watched the whole thing, but I like it. It's moving away from the Skywalker saga stuff.
Because you find out what happens after Revenge of the Sith, what happens to like Order 66, what happens to the clones. Like, do they still work for the Empire, or do they just like discharge them and stuff like that? And you see it in Bad Batch, you see them like, all right, some of the clones like, what's going on here? What are we doing this? We can't do this, but this doesn't sound right. And then you see them slowly transitioning to like regular people, or like people to enlist for the Empire and have stormtroopers.
Yeah, hopefully they don't. I think supposedly, I don't know if this one got canceled, but I think they put all movies on hold or something.
Yeah, because like the shows are amazing as it is, and it's like doesn't cost as much as filming a movie. It's like, oh, we can do everything in set, and then they have that awesome like tracking,
yeah,
like what is it called, it's like a 360 kind of thing that has like the footage of like deserts, whatever, and they could just like kind of 360 the camera around, so they could do that. And then by the end of December we get a Boba Fett show, then Mando's gonna come back in it for a few episodes or something, so that's gonna be awesome as well.
Yeah, I heard they were trying to get a Sebastian Stan to come out as like a younger, like a middle-aged Luke or something. No,
I seen photos, I seen like people's comparisons, like Sebastian Stan, and then like do it with like Mark Hamill, and they kind of like fuse together. And like, it's perfect.
They could definitely get away with it, and it'll be cool. Oh, and there's Ewan McGregor.
Obi-Wan show.
Oh, dude, I can't wait for that show, man.
I'm like super high because like. Like all throughout the prequels, I know like some like they're pretty bad, but like, the only good concept thing about it is like the lightsaber fights and Ewan McGregor as like Obi-Wan. He's been like the perfect, you know, casting to play Obi-Wan Kenobi.
Yeah, and he's the perfect age right now too to be like that.
You see recent interviews, he's like growing out the beard a little bit. It's getting like a little white in the middle. Like, oh, he's gonna become old Ben, like just wandering around Tatooine. Watching over Luke, and like I'm sure he's gonna interfere with like the Empire for a bit, and they're bringing the actor that played Anakin.
Oh shit, that's right, like the teen version of Anakin. No,
yeah, like, well, yeah, so he's coming back to play Darth Vader. Like, oh, it's phenomenal.
Oh damn, he's gonna be all burnt.
I'm just hyped, like everything's going on for Star Wars, so I think just focus on just doing shows and like little like mini series instead of the movies. And later on, like, all right, we have a good idea for a movie, and let's do it.
For sure, it looked like they were trying to push a Star Wars movie, like, every year with the Solo. I wasn't a big fan of Solo. Like, I love Chewie and like, you know, they're cool. They're, like, OGs. But the movie, I did not really like. Like, I thought it was a little unnecessary.
It's funny, like, when I watched it in theaters, I was like, it's not great. But I remember, like, I think I turned on a Disney Plus, like, it's not that bad. Like, just have it on, it's not that bad. It's all right.
Which is what I'm hoping with Black Widow, because when I saw Black Widow and seeing that, you know, Black Widow, one of the last MCU movies for her, at least because her character died in Endgame, it's like, okay, like you expect it to be cool, but like the whole Taskmaster stuff, I don't know, it felt too streamlined. Like it was just like, let's just get finished the storyline so we can get over Black Widow and move to the next thing.
Cause like for me, like, cause I saw it, like I enjoyed it. It was like there's some points like I agree with like, Taskmaster, cause in the comics Taskmaster talks. That's what he does. Mm-hmm. He taunts and he talks to his like opponents, and that's where like that's what I was lacking. Like, oh, I want him, like whoever was playing him. Like that, it didn't matter. It was I forgot her name, the bad guy's daughter. I didn't really care. It's a woman playing Taskmaster. I just want her to talk or taunt. You know. Natasha or taunt like anybody to like when they fight, because that's what he does. That's what he just taunts people.
Yeah, they're supposed to be able to go toe to toe in terms of fighting, you know. And I felt like it was just a wasted villain. So I'm hoping they kind of like do something like they did with the Mandarin and Iron Man 2, where they, you know, when in Shang-Chi they build on the whole like, oh, he's an actor thing, you know.
Yeah.
And there's a real Taskmaster somewhere, like just. we're just waiting to go with everybody.
Yeah, but with like back to Black Widow, but I think like does that movie, I felt like to me that movie could have come out maybe a year ago or even like 2 years ago. I felt like the after Civil War kind of wait till like the next like big movie, whatever at the time, and just put Black Widow on that slate, and it kind of fill in the gap. Like, okay, and then after Black Widow, you have Infinity War because it tied in right in the end. Infinity War, when she goes to the Quinjet, she got that cut hair, the haircut, and like, and then like her outfit and everything. And there you go. I just like, oh, that's cool. That's kind of cool. That's nice. But I wish this would have been maybe 2 years ago.
No, it's true. Because I mean, like you said, it would have just made more sense storyline wise. And then maybe her death, which was already impactful in Endgame, it would have been even more like, holy shit, like we know what she went through and now she's done.
I don't know if you've seen Falcon the Winter Soldier.
Oh, yeah, I did.
You know, I don't remember that that lady that came in to like kind of protect John Walker.
Yeah, the one who plays Elaine on Seinfeld.
Yeah, so in the comics, she's like kind of like a double agent for like S.H.I.E.L.D. and Hydra. And she's, and then some comics, she's like Nick Fury's kind of right-hand man. Mm-hmm. And so my theory, I'm thinking like she's been popping up in Falcon the Winter Soldier and the Black Widow movie, the very end post-credit scene. So I'm thinking she's primarily assembling her own Avengers team.
Like a secret ops type of thing?
Oh, yeah, which are called the Thunderbolts. So they're pretty much kind of like Marvel's equivalent to the Suicide Squad. Mm-hmm. So like, so there in the group, you have Baron Zemo. You have let's just roster of like villains in this group. But since and that now, it looks like to me that she's forming her own like a Dark Avengers or Thunderbolts team. Since you already have, she has John Walker, so she has her Captain America. Mm-hmm. You have Baron Zemo, so she can just convince him to like, hey, work for me. We'll like reduce your sentence, whatever. So you have Baron Zemo. You have Elena as her Black Widow, and she just needs like a Hulk, Iron Man, and like a Thor type character for her roster. But she already has Abomination, because Abomination came out in Shang-Chi.
Oh, you're right.
And he's still in the raft. He's still locked up. Since I was freaking out when I saw that, when like Wong opens a portal and you see like his gel cell. Oh, I was flipping out like, oh my god, he's still in the raft. So he still exists. So she can use him as her Hulk character. And then she could free out the other two members for her team.
Yeah, you're right. You know, I never thought about it. I kind of, you know, it looks like she's recruiting because she was like, hey, I work for this part. But I never even like, try to connect like, hey, you're right. Maybe she's like a Nick Fury for that sector.
Yeah, it's Marvel's like playing the Easter eggs. Like, oh, no, she's not making a team. Whatever. I don't know what you're talking about. And the next movie, boom, like it's like the Dark Avengers or the Thunderbolts.
Ah, okay. Yeah, it's kind of like when you saw the first Hulk, Iron Man, and, you know, at the end, you're like, that's when post-credit scenes were kind of like just getting started, and you're like, oh. And then you see if eventually connect, you're like, oh, shit. The one that's going to be coming out is Hawkeye with, what's the girl's name? Wait, I forgot her name. Is she called Hawkeye too?
No, she's Kate Bishop in the comics, so that's the character she's playing. But later on, she gets the mantle Hawkeye. So like each like she kind of Hawkeye pretty much gives her the mantle, and like she joins like a young Avengers team, with like pretty much like teenagers like forming their own team, and then she's called Hawkeye in that too.
Okay. So I want to make two interesting points then in that case, because now you're saying you brought up the whole she's making her own team, but in WandaVision they introduced her to kids, you know, and they end up becoming young Avengers at some point, right?
Yeah. Wicked and I forgot her brother, like I think it's like Speed, like something like generic for his power. Yeah. So they're all I think it's Speed. I could be wrong, but yeah, they're also in the Young Avengers team. So it's like her, Wicked, Speed, Hawkeye, Kate Bishop, and then for Hawkeye for Falcon the Winter Soldier, they introduce the first ever Black Captain America.
Jeremiah.
I know Isaiah. I can't remember his last name, but his first name is Isaiah. He was literally the first Black Captain America, and his grandson. I forgot his last. I'm blanking out his name, but in the comics he becomes Iron Patriot. becomes Patriot. So he's a member of the Young Avengers team.
Ah, God damn it, Marvel, just fucking setting up things.
That's his name, Isaiah Bradley. I just hit him right now. So Isaiah Bradley's grandson becomes Patriot for the Young Avengers team. So you have Iron Patriot, you have Patriot, you have Wicked, Speed, Hawkeye, and you have Iron Lad. So he's like another member. And thing about Iron Lad, he's a variant of Kang the Conqueror.
What the fuck?
Yeah, so it's like super crazy. Mm-hmm. So there again, like Marvel, and then you have Mrs. Marvel, so she also joins the team too.
Kamala Khan. Kamala Khan, and then I think there's also a Ironheart show coming out.
Mm-hmm. So they'll probably replace Iron Lad with Ironheart for the Young Avengers team.
With the girl, yeah.
Which I'm pretty sure it's going to happen. Or do a miniseries. Have like 10-episode miniseries on Disney Plus and just call the Young Avengers.
I think at this point, because they integrated Disney Plus, they're just going to fucking pump out a lot of the show. And I'm all for it. You know, I'm definitely all in it just to watch them, because honestly, they've been pretty good.
Yeah, me and my girlfriend love WandaVision. We love like the take of it, the different like style that Marvel did. I know some people are like, "Oh, I can't get into it. I can't get into the episodes because like the whole like kind of like black and white episodes and like this different range." It's like, yeah. No, just watch it through. It's like, it makes sense. Watch the last two episodes. It makes sense. Like, why is it like kind of like showing like different genres of television?
Yeah, I think what made that show really exciting for me was that I watched it on the per week basis. Mm-hmm. I know a lot of people afterwards kind of just waited and just watched the whole thing on the rerun. But I think for me, it was I was waiting in between and I was just assuming like, oh my God, like, what the fuck? Like, it just made me think and like really get into like the thought of what was going on with the show. And, you know, it kept me engaged.
I just like the fact that people also like thought, oh, it's going to be Mephisto. Just like. Pretty like, so if you don't know who Mephisto is, Mephisto is pretty much, I guess, the equivalent of the devil in the Marvel universe in the comics. And then people thought, like, oh, it's Mephisto. They're going to talk about Mephisto. And then they're going to have, who else? Like, oh, we're going to bring in mutants and stuff like that, too. Mm-hmm. Like, we're going to have, like, the first taste of, like, mutants in this show. And no, not at all. Nothing.
Next thing you know, they're throwing Quicksilver. And you're like, what the fuck?
And now with like the Loki show, I'm like thinking, you're thinking like, oh, maybe this is a variant of Quicksilver.
Dude, I'm so excited for this. Honestly, I hope when you get to watch Venom, like at least you get excited, because I like where it's going. I hope they don't. It's Sony, so I hope they don't fuck it up, because they've been known to, you know, they start going good and they just.
Yeah, it's so weird that you mentioned that, because the whole with the Spider-Man movies, like Sony like just messed that up, because like for like Spider-Man 3, like Venom, Sandman, the new Green Goblin, they weren't going to be in the movie. They were going to be someone different. Like Sam Raimi wanted the Vulture in the movie, and he wanted and have a small cameo, have a Mysterio come out as a small cameo. And then there's actual like storyboards you can see. I think you find it like on the internet or YouTube. It shows Mysterio going to jail. Like Spider-Man like beat him up and he goes to jail. And then Mysterio gets knocked over and his helmet comes off. And it's Bruce Campbell as Mysterio.
What the hell?
Because like you notice in the Sam Raimi movies, like he comes out as like different people. He becomes he's like the wrestling announcer. He gives Spider-Man his name. And he's like the ticket usher that Peter's trying to go to the show. And he's like, oh, no, you can't go in. And the third one, he works. He's like the waiter, the French waiter.
Yeah. That, for people who don't know, and if I'm correct, it's the guy from Evil Dead, right?
Yeah. Ash. That, yeah. So like all that was going to pay off as him being Mysterio. And so, yeah. So he's like, no, we don't like the idea. Scrap it. Yeah. So and then if you were going to do a fourth Spider-Man movie, that's what Sam Raimi was going to use those ideas, put in the Vulture. Put in like Mysterio, just like small hints that have like three villains at once. That's what the studio came in. They're like, oh no, let's do this and do that. And then it didn't work out. So Sam Raimi, oh no, I don't want to do any more movies. And then that's when we had the two Andrew Garfield movies. It's Amazing Spider-Man and Spider-Man 2. And that's like super crazy there, especially the sequel, because they added Mary Jane Watson. They had like a bunch of scenes with her and they just cut it. Like, oh no, it doesn't work.
I mean, out of those two movies, I prefer the second. I like the what's her name? Gwen Stacy dies in the second one, huh? Yeah, in the second one. that to me was a fucking really, really great ending. Just, it was like human and real and morbid. I was like, holy shit.
And that, just that hit.
It was, yeah, I mean, basically it was his fault because the fucking ricochet and her head just hit the ground. Like, it was like enough height for her head to just fucking, oh, God.
So what's your thoughts on the third Spider-Man coming out?
Oh my God!
You think we're gonna have Tobey Maguire and Andrew Garfield come back as they're both Spider-Man to come into the movie?
I think they're gonna. I think they have to. Two reasons. One is that's Sony's way of monetizing the whole multiverse idea, which we've been talking about. It's just, oh, we have three different Spider-Mans. Let's bring them all together. Hey. Let's bring all these villains.
Oh, makes like everyone love it. We're going to love it. We're going to make money. Mm-hmm. You know, we're going to sell the toys, the marketing for it. I'm just excited. I just want nice key moments. Like, mm-hmm. I want all three Spider-Man just to talk about Uncle Ben. Because, like, the only mention we get from Uncle Ben from the MCU is the What If episode. When yeah. Spider-Man talks to Hope, like, oh, because I lost Tony, Happy, my Uncle Ben. That's the only reference we get about Uncle Ben. And then I want them to talk about Uncle Ben. Like, I want to see, like, oh, you know, Uncle Ben taught me this or that. Or have, like, because, like, I'm sure Toby Spider-Man's going to be older. And I'm sure he probably lost Aunt May at some point in his world. So he goes up and talks to this Peter, like, hey, is your Aunt May alive? Like, I just want to see her one more time, or I want to like talk to her.
Yeah, like a very human. Yeah, that's a very human moment.
Yeah, and also some funny moments too, because like you have Andrew Garfield and Tom Holland. They're both their Spider-Man have web shooters. Like, they don't have inorganic webbing. I want them to talk about Tom. Like, oh, how's your web shooter works? Oh, I use this cartridge and this. Like, oh, it's awesome. How do you make yours? Cool. And then have both of them talk to Tom McGuire's Spider-Man. Like, oh, how? What about your web shooters? Like, web shooters might just come out like this and shoot.
So gross.
It's an organic web. I mean, like, how does it come from? Like, where does it come out? Like, where do you, how do you make it?
Dude, that'd be hilarious.
I just want that interaction. I also want them when they fight, like have all three of them fight, have like cool like combo moves and stuff.
Yeah. Oh my God. I mean, because from what the trailer shows, it looks like Green Goblin's coming back. Of course, Doc Ock. Apparently there was some lightning scene that people are seeing. It could be Electro, and then another like a piece where it looks like a fucking lizard's coming out from like the sewer. I don't know if that's true. I just seen like stills and people are like, you know how they brighten it up and stuff.
Oh yeah, like brighten up and like do like a whole view, like a little breakdown. But I'm excited for like Doc Ock and Green Goblin to come back, especially having Willem Dafoe come back as Green Goblin, and then knowing Disney and Marvel, they'll probably update the suit. Make him like, I'm sure maybe, oh, I just kind of want like a mixture of like his old suit from the movies and then just modernize it, put some purple in it, you know?
Oh yeah, like the classic one. Mm-hmm. Then no, I think I'm excited for it. I really am. I hope you see Venom too soon. I'm like trying so so hard, but dude, again, that's a Sony property, so with the way things are going, you know,
I'm just like like a long time ago, Sony had this giant plan for the Spider-Man universe.
Oh yeah, right.
They had plans to do a Black Cat and Silver Sable movie together. They had plans to do an Aunt May movie, make her a spy back in the like in her prime. I'm like, what? That makes no sense. And they also had a Sinister Six movie in the works. Because I don't know if you've seen like the end of Amazing Spider-Man 2. You see this like dark figure walking through this corridor. You see like vulture wings, like Doc Ock tentacles and stuff, and then you see the Rhino suit. And yeah. then the credits roll up. You see like silhouettes of like the Sinister Six. You see like Vulture's wings, Doc Ock's arms, the Rhino suit. You see like Kraven's like crest on his belt buckle, and I think Green Goblin or Hobgoblin, like one of like the gliders. So Sony was trying to do their own Sinister Six movie, but obviously it didn't plan out.
Yeah. I mean, dude, honestly, because of all the movies that have been coming out, like the anti-hero movies, like nowadays, it seems like it pays off and people want to see those stories where you take a villain and you dissect them and you realize like, oh shit, he has human, you know, issues with these things in his life that you can see why he's turning out this way, you know, like you can kind of like empathize with them, and that's trippy. But again, that's what I love about it, because the comic book movies are moving towards studying the human involvement and their psychology in these things that they're going through, you know, and they're getting very human.
And then also, like, if you guys are like want to get into more, just like go to comic book stores, buy the comics. Like, they're not that expensive. They're like maybe $4, and you get this amazing artwork on these comic book covers. So just if you love like the movies, just go on, pick up a book, read a comic book, and like you love it, and there you go.
Been going to, there's a place in Bellflower, it's called Metropolis Comics.
I've been there a few times.
Yeah, I found out about it, and this is like my third, fourth time I've been, and I've been buying shirts. I've been getting really into like getting these really cool graphic comic book shirts. And dude, this is one of the places that I go, and that I'm like, I love what the collection that they have in terms of comics and just like t-shirts, you know.
But the only gripe I'll talk about that place is like they kind of overpriced their figurines, their Marvel Legend figures. I'm just like, everything else is fine. It's just like, just drop a few bucks down on your figures.
You hear that, Metropolis? Put your prices down. They're like, hey,
fuck. I get it. They have to buy it. They're like, they got to make like profit, but just make it just a few bucks cheaper, you know?
Yeah, I've been also, I've been going a lot more to Frankincense this year. This year I started, it was one of my first times going. And dude, I love the place. It just makes me feel like a little kid, you know, like walking around. You're like, oh my God, look at this.
Once you open your wallet, I'm like, ooh.
Oh yeah.
Should I get it? Not get it?
If it's worth it. Yeah, I got this. I can't pull it out right now, but I got this. I think it's obviously just a replica. I don't know if the guy hand drew it, but it's like this Japanese art style, like picture of Wolverine, just like, you know, just doing power flexing. Dude, it looks so cool because it looks like it's Japanese art strokes. And I was like, dude, I had to buy it. The print was only like $20 for like, you know,
8.5 by 10.
But dude, I was like, hell yeah, that's a piece of art that I just want to have on there, you know? It's like one of my favorite characters, and he looks fucking legit. Hell yeah. No, so I've been geeking out crazy.
So at some point, you know, Marvel's gonna do an X-Men movie. Would you want Wolverine to be like the same height as Hugh Jackman, or have his comic book height? I think he's like 5'5" or 5'4". Do you want like Wolverine to be that height, or do you want him just a little taller?
Nah, I need him to be a little taller. I'm sorry. Because I mean, it's cool, but I think at some point there's a certain size where like if you get too buff, you just look too short, you know? And so unless they find somebody who has a nice build, but I mean, of course, Hugh Jackman was like 6-something, you know, like 6'2" or something.
Yeah, I think, he's about like 6'2".
You know, he'll get ripped and he'll still look like he'll fuck you up, you know? But I think I all prefer that. But for sure, they have to fucking don that yellow suit. They have to find a way to make him wear that yellow. I think in one of the X-Men movies where he came out, not X-Men, but it was, I guess, like his standalone ones.
It was the Wolverine. But it was a rated cut. It was like the end, pretty much towards the very end of the movie, him and Yumiko, I think that's the I guess sidekick for him. Like, gives him a briefcase. He opens a briefcase. It's the brown and gold or brown and yellow suit. I'm like, oh man. And then it's just like, that was a big fuck you to all the fans. Like, you know, this is not going to happen. So we'll just tease it. And then there you go.
I know, douchebags. I was like, hell yeah, dude. He would have looked, and it looked good enough for him not to look fucking, you know, hilarious with it. Because, you know, in the comic books, it looks cool. But, I mean, you try to bring it to real life, you got to make it look good.
So that's why, like, in like Days of Future Past, when he gives them, like, you see his, like, his suit. It looks a little bit, because you have like the little color scheme on his like sleeves, like the blue and like yellow or a little bit on his sleeves. That was it. But yeah, I'm hoping like Marvel gives all the X-Men like their costume, like outfits, and like make them obviously a little modernized, obviously. But like, I want like the blue and gold, or the red and, or I mean the brown and gold, or I mean like the X-Force outfit, like the black and gray.
Yeah, which I wanted to bring up on the last point before we start wrapping this up, Jose. Like, again, this is not a spoiler on Venom, but at some point or another, like right in the beginning of the movie, they kind of start showing that there's like mutants. So like, that to me was just like it's not like, it doesn't ruin the movie.
Are you talking about like Shriek?
Yeah, exactly. So I'm just like, what the hell? That's a it's interesting because now they're kind of establishing that there's people with that can have powers in this Sony universe. And of course, you know, they already said they're working on Fantastic Four, at least MCU Marvel is. Like, I don't know how they're going to do that. Either they're going to have to bring realities or find a way to associate that.
That's what's going on, because like, that's what you can explain easily. Oh, the multiverse. Like, it's like different things, different variants. Mm-hmm. Like a timeline with the Fantastic Four does exist. And they're like, let's say from the 60s. They're like from the 60s version of the Fantastic Four. They somehow get into our universe, or they just welded in together, or the X-Men or the mutants do exist, but they're hiding in the shadows. Yeah. They work through the shadows. Like, you hear these events, like, they can do this. They can have, like, you know, have the Daily Bugle have different news articles, whatever, like, pin the board. Or you have, like, Jonah Jameson's office having these, like, gigantic news clippings, like you did in the movies, like, oh, like this and this, like, disaster in like Uganda, like, solved. And it's like storm, like, bringing water to, like, this dry other country, Uganda, or stuff like that. You know, like, or like a, what is it? Like a building fell off, but no one got hurt. Like, everyone will say, it's like, oh, it's the X-Men. It's them, like, working in the shadows.
Dude, yeah, I'm excited. And like, as soon as they announce, I'm going to fucking scream like a little girl. And I'm going to tell you, Jose, they fucking announced it.
I know we've been talking about Marvel, but also DC has a lot of stuff in the works. Like, I'm super excited. I'm excited for the Batman.
Oh fuck yeah! That shit looks cool, dude.
Like, they had like private, screenings for this movie for like people that work in the film industry. But it was like, they said like it's a 3-hour movie, and it's perfect. No one complained about it, and it's like pretty much a horror movie in the Batman like universe. Like, oh, it's perfect. Like, someone described the scene of the movie. It's like, it's Batman walking down Gotham, and Gotham is engulfed in flames. Not only that, then you have the Flash movie. You have Michael Keaton coming back as Batman.
Oh shit, you're right. Yeah,
we're gonna have two Batman, and we're gonna have like just bananas. You have a Supergirl in this movie. You know, she's gonna be in it, and like just craziness. And then you have like Shazam coming up, and you have Black Adam.
Black Adam with the Rock,
and then introducing more iconic characters. Like, you have, like, Hawkman, you have, like, Adam Smasher, and you have Dr. Fate, which I'm super excited for. Like, finally, DC is going to do more mystic, more magic into their movies. You know, it's just awesome. And then Aquaman 2 is coming up pretty soon.
Yeah, for sure. It's been a little hard for me to get into DC just because, I don't know why. I just feel like they've been, they're good movies. No. But people are gonna hear this and be like, this guy's a Marvel fanboy. No, I love DC too.
I just think because like it's just the studios just like interfering so much with these DC films. Like, look what Zack Snyder, like when he had the emergency with his daughter when she passed away, like, he like, oh, I gotta leave the project. And then Warner Bros. Like, oh, we'll just fire him and get Josh Whedon. And like, whatever Zack Snyder was doing, like, oh, we'll just reset everything, let Josh Whedon do it, take it over. And then once like Zack Snyder, oh no, I want to, you know, do my own movie. And then Warner Bros. Like, oh no, we're not gonna do it. And you have like fans and HBO coming in. They're like, you know what? Mm-hmm. Here's the money. Go finish your movie. And then once you finish the movie, he put it 4 hours, and it works. It was good.
Yeah, it's kind of similar when people. The whole Batman versus Superman. I know people hate it. I know some love it. I was the one who always kind of liked it from the beginning, but when I saw the director's cut of it, dude, that movie got even better, like fucking tenfold.
Like Cyborg was like amazing, and the director's character building, awesome character, especially with like him interacting with like the computer systems all over the world, like his father talking about, you're the most dangerous being on the entire planet. You can literally change things or destroy things, and that. Amazing moment where like that mother and child, like the mom's trying to take money out of the ATM and she has like maybe like $20 in her account, and you see Cyborg just like going through her account, seeing like the dollar, like the $20 bill, and just expanding it, and just give it to her. And then that's perfect character moment there.
Yeah, dude, it was a good movie. Because it's long, but dude, it's about sitting down, seeing these characters again develop in that reality that we're able to sit down and watch. and just going for the ride, you know, and take a few breaks in between, go to the bathroom, but like watch it all the way, you know.
And he introduced Martian Manhunter. I was just flipping out. This close game, John Stewart, Green Lantern in that movie too.
Yeah,
I was like, oh my god, see, Warner Brothers, like, Gordy, stop, just let them do what they gotta do. And you did it with James Gunn when he did Suicide Squad.
That movie was great. That movie was really good. Yeah, I think the whole thing that they are allowing certain characters to go like four rated R, it gives you so much more to work with. Of course, because you even got limitations from some, you know, rating company who's like, hey, make sure it's safe for the kids. Like, nope, the kids want to see the good stuff, man. They want to see the good stuff. Just keep it real.
So I have hope for DC. You know, they'll wait till Batman comes out, and then it's gonna be amazing, and then all the other projects coming up. So just give DC a chance. And not only that, like, they have like a bunch of stuff going on for HBO Max. They're doing TV shows. They're doing a Gotham show based on the Batman movie. And they have like the Teen Titans or the Titans show. And like there's other stuff. And then Doom Patrol. Like, it's like,
oh, that one's really good.
Me and my girlfriend love that show. Like, I got her into it. I'm like, all right. And then you have Brendan Fraser in that show. Like, how can you not love Brendan Fraser?
Yeah, I know. I hadn't seen him in a while, so when I heard that's the only reason I started watching Doom Patrol, because I was like, oh shit, Brendan Fraser, Mummy movies, George of the Jungle, back in the like early 2000s. Yeah, man. But Jose, it's been a pleasure having you on the show, man. Like, it was nice to, you know, bounce ideas and kind of just, you know, get all this extra energy that I've been just watching stuff and get it out of me. But dude, thank you so much, and hopefully, you know, once everything that we've talked about that's coming in the future, we'll have another one of these and catch up, see where we find ourselves then as well, you know?
Yeah, let's hope the Eternals, because I'm sure there's going to be like world building there from the Eternals. We'll get cosmic beings, we'll learn more about what are they called? I'm drawing a blank.
Celestials?
No. Celestials. Is it Celestials? No, I'm drawing a blank. God damn it. I hate when that happens. Oh, God. I think they're called Celestials. I could be wrong, you guys.
It's cool. People know what we're talking about.
Yeah, they know what's up. They're just those giant monsters out there that create the universe.
There you go. Where can people find you, Jose?
You can find me on like Instagram, Twitter. It's Dinobot90. That's my personal account. But I also work for a website called Temple Geek. So you guys can also follow Temple Geek on Instagram, Twitter, Facebook, and I also do a toy channel for them. So it's Temple Geek Toy Chest. There I talk about toys and all this crazy stuff. So I do toy reviews or post cool toy news and stuff like that. So yeah, you guys can find me there as well.
Sick. Awesome, man. Again, thank you so much for taking the time, and we'll catch up in a few months.
Oh, yeah, my pleasure. I can't wait to do this again.
Have a good night, Jose.
You too.
Take care, man. See ya.